Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, as Bob said, we do have open lines right now, and we would love for you to call and be a part of today's Basic Gospel broadcast. 844-322-2742 is the number you can call right now. We would love to hear from you. So if you have a question about the Word of God, if you have a question about a problem situation in your life, not sure how to deal with it, not sure what the Bible says is the answer to that, we would love to point you into the Word of God, into the grace of God, into the love of God, so that you can find hope and help in your time of need. Again, the number 844-322-2742. We're talking about social issues this month, how the gospel speaks into the things that we encounter in everyday life, and there's an abundance of them.
Yes.
And they're very confusing, and it's hard to try to figure out exactly how to think and which direction to move in or which side to lean toward in any of these. But when we have a foundation in the Word of God, when we have a framework that's been built for us by the very gospel of Jesus Christ, by the grace of God itself, then we can begin to see, you know, God's wisdom in all of these things. And today we're really going to start at the most foundational, most basic of all premises concerning every single issue. We have to start here, and if we don't start here, then we can easily drift from what is actually true. So this is very basic. It gets back to the very beginning of Scripture, the beginning of the Gospel of John, and that's where we're going to be today. John chapter 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, this is a powerful statement about the person of Jesus Christ. It talks of his pre-existence. He has always been. So he was in the beginning. He was the Word, and this Word became flesh. And this Word was with God, and this Word was God. So what Yes. do we know about Jesus? That he and the Father are one, that Jesus is God in essence, God in nature. And then he goes on to say, he was in the beginning with God, so he's just repeating that. And he says this, "All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." So here's a creation statement. That all that we see, that all that we can touch, all that we can experience, all that has ever been, has come from the hand of God himself, has come from Jesus Christ. God spoke and the world came into being. Mm-hmm. Now, Richard, last night you went to see a movie
Yes.
about creation, and you had some pretty great observations about that particular movie, but it really is important to get this right, isn't it? To come
Yeah.
to believe and to know and to stand firmly on the fact that God spoke and the world came into being.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the movie is called Genesis, Paradise Lost, and it's, I believe, the first of what they hope will be several parts. It was produced by the folks at Answers in Genesis, and it was a fascinating film. I encourage you, if it's a, it's done under the auspices of Fathom Events, so it's not just generally available, but many theaters host these events. And I believe there's going to be another showing on Thursday night. So check your local listings for that. But if you get a chance to go see it, go see it. Scientists get together and talk about the science of creation. And they do so by very cogently explaining that all of these scientific principles that creationists are accused of ignoring are actually true, and it's the evolutionists who ignore those statements. And right down to fundamental levels, like the second law of thermodynamics, that everything is going toward chaos, the law of entropy. It's easily demonstrable within creation, within our existing universe, for example, that this is the case. And yet it is absolutely denied by the evolutionary theory. And you can't have it both ways. So there's a lot of stuff in there like that. And the good news is it is not heavily scientific. They're not going to be throwing equations at you or any of that sort of thing. They just talk about it in regular people terms. And it's fascinating. There are some wonderful graphics in it. They talk about Jesus. They just lay it out there. But the way that those scientists, who are true believers, I mean, they freely admit that they belong to Jesus Christ, the way they tie creation and Christianity together is absolutely fascinating. And I highly recommend it. But if we don't have origins right, we don't have anything right. And the evolutionists believe that too. It's a competing idea. I mean, which origin statement is correct? We believe we've got science on our side. They do too. Time will tell, but we've also got Jesus, and they don't want to talk about Jesus.
No, they don't want to talk about Jesus. And here's why this is so vitally important. So you either believe that, you know, this happened through a Big Bang, and then evolution took over, and through millions and millions and millions of years, we have evolved into what we are today through a process of natural selection. Mm-hmm. That's what Darwin has proposed, basically. So you either believe that, or you believe that God spoke and the world came into being, and that we are a product of His creativity and His power, His awesomeness, and we're a result of His love for us.
Yes, that very and very intentional.
That's exactly right.
Not random.
That's exactly right. Now, one of the leading voices in the evolutionary world is a man named Richard Dawkins. He is world-renowned as a biologist and as a philosopher. He debates many Christians on the existence of God. And here's what he had to say. He said, "You can't even begin to understand biology. You can't understand life unless you understand what it's all there for, how it arose." So it's getting back to an origin. How did we get to be where we are today? And here's what he says, and that means evolution. So then there's this question about God, and he speaks about that. The question of whether there exists a supernatural creator, a God, is one of the most important that we have to answer. I think that it is a scientific question, and my answer is no. So he does not believe God exists. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the next step in that thought process. Here's the next step in the development of a philosophy about human affairs. And he says, "Much as we might wish to believe otherwise, universal love and the welfare of the species as a whole are concepts which simply do not make evolutionary sense." So evolution is just this random selection. There's nothing that is driving this train intentionally to a destination. It's just happening. So wherever we are, that's just the way it is. So how we treat one another, that's just how we choose to treat one another.
Well,
there's nothing guiding that in any way, shape, or form.
Other than my own desire to get ahead.
That's exactly.
And therefore stomp on you or kill you or do anything I can so that I win and you lose.
Right. So if we're looking at oppression, for example, out there in the world, when we are looking at people that have been oppressed because of their skin color or their socioeconomic status or whatever it might be, the evolutionists would just say, well, that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
That's how we're choosing to do things. So there's nothing that would guide them to an action toward another human being based on an equality, based on a confirmation from God that all life is of value to him, that we all have human dignity and human worth because God created us to have that. So we would treat each other differently under that mindset. Mm-hmm. So if you believe that God created, that he spoke the world into existence, and that came out of his benevolence, out of his goodness, out of his love. Why? God is love. So if he created, it was his love that compelled him to do so. So we're a product of his love.
Yeah.
And so that becomes the guiding principle, the guiding truth in all of human affairs. So you can see these two diverge in completely opposite directions. So that's why this is so vitally important. We have to start right there. If we're going to have anything to say, if anything that's going to make us distinct, it has to start with the fact that God created,
yes.
That God opened his mouth and he spoke the world into existence. And because he is love, it was his love for us that compelled him to do so. And it's wonderful to know that when he created and when he looked at all of the things that he created and us whom he created, he said, it is good.
Yeah.
And that directs us in a way that brings human dignity to every single person that's ever lived.
Yeah. Let me throw a fly into the ointment.
No, you can't.
We Christians think that we are diametrically opposed to the evolutionary idea, and in many ways we are. But stop and consider, those of you who were taught or have accepted or currently believe, that when you become a Christian, you begin a path that you slowly, step by step, become better and better. Your holiness improves, and you keep the law better, or you please God better, or all of that. That is an evolutionary idea. That we start at a low level and we work our way to a higher level. And if we're good enough at it, then we will reign supreme. Well, that's exactly what we say to God when we say to him, well, haven't I been good enough? Haven't I? Don't I deserve to be you? Whereas the Bible says, if you've accepted Jesus Christ, you are spoken, created as a brand new creation in Jesus Christ. There's no long-term plan here. Jesus came, died for all sins, rose again to bring us life, and our only option is to accept him or not. We don't get to work our way there. We don't evolve into nicer people, into holy people. We are either declared to be righteous and holy and his children, or we're not.
Yeah, at that moment of new creation. So
yes.
At the moment of creation, when God spoke, Adam and Eve were fully man and woman.
Completely.
There
yes.
was nothing that needed to be added. They didn't grow into adulthood. They were just created as Adam and Eve, perfect and complete in
yes.
every way. So at this point, at a point of new creation for each and every one of us, and that's the moment of new birth, at that moment, we are complete in Christ.
Yes.
As Peter said, we have everything that we need at that moment for life and godliness.
Yes.
Well, faith is just starting to understand all that is true of us because of the work of Christ on our
yes.
behalf. So we need to see creation from all angles, don't
yes.
we? All aspects. So, Richard, that is just one of the keenest, most insightful points, and thank you for sharing that today. Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher. I'm here with Richard Pfeiffer, and we welcome you as well. If you have a question that you would like to pose on today's broadcast, 844-322-2742. It can be about creation. It can be about evolution. It can be about any issue that you may be struggling with or in doubt about. We would love to talk with you on today's broadcast. Again, that number, 844-322-2742. We have a wonderful resource this month that we want to put in your hands. It is a CD entitled Hard Passages.
Yeah.
So, Richard, you and I had a wonderful time
yes.
during the summer looking at all of the difficult passages, most of them in the New Testament. And we read them, we scratch our heads, we wonder, what in the world does this mean? I thought we were eternally secure, and this seems to say something different.
Yeah.
I thought all my sins were forgiven. This seems to say something different. I thought, that all our punishment was upon Jesus. This seems to say something different. You know, help me. How do I figure this out? What does the grace of God say about these? Well, that's why we put this series together. We want to put it in your hands. It's available for a gift, A Basic Gospel, this month. And just go to our website, basicgospel.net, click the donate link and follow the instructions there and request your copy of Hard Passages. This is a great resource for you individually. If you love to teach Bible studies, you've encountered a lot of these questions. So here's some help for you to answer them, to help people think through what the Scripture is actually saying and help them come with the Holy Spirit teaching to a conclusion that fits with the gospel, with the grace of God. So it's Hard Passages. It's yours for a gift to Basic Gospel this month. Well, 844-322-2742 is the number. Call right now if you have a question. We had some calls come in overnight.
Yes.
Let's start in Lancaster, California.
Hi, this is Morgan from Lancaster, California. I have two questions. Is the Antichrist here already? And if that's the case, then where are we at in Revelation? And my second question is, who is the white horse? Is it the Antichrist or is it a Savior, Jesus Christ? And my third question is, the Kabbalah, is that off of a false Jewish religion? Thank you. Bye.
Well, Morgan, thanks for calling Basic Gospel. We appreciate all of those questions. So she starts with Antichrist. So is the Antichrist in the world today? Now, as far as a person that we would identify as the Antichrist, the answer is no.
Correct.
We're not sure of that. But here is what we do know, and this is from John's first letter. The spirit of Antichrist is here.
Yes.
And the spirit of Antichrist has been in the world since the very beginning. And so the spirit of Antichrist has an agenda, and it's moving people to rebel against the Lord Jesus. And that's what the spirit of Antichrist does. So it wants people to deny the Lord Jesus. If they don't deny the Lord Jesus, they want the spirit of Antichrist wants us to come up with a different view of Jesus than what's revealed to us in the Word of God. So, for example, in John's day, there were heretical beliefs about Jesus. There were folks that said that Jesus did not come in the flesh. He was merely a spirit being. Well, why did they believe that? Well, that's the spirit of Antichrist working on them to buy into another Jesus, which is really no Jesus at all. So if Jesus only came as a spirit being, what does that do to our gospel? What does it do to the physical death of Jesus Christ, his body being nailed to a cross where he bore the sins of the world, where he bore your sins? What does that do to the resurrection where he was physically raised from the dead? Well, it negates everything. Well, that's what the Antichrist wants to do. That's the spirit of Antichrist. So the spirit of Antichrist has been about that business from the very beginning. Will that spirit of Antichrist kind of morph into a single human being? Well, we believe that's what the Word of God teaches in the book of Revelation, but we're not there yet. Her second question was about the white horses. In the book of Revelation, we see two white horses.
Two white horses, yes.
So what do those white horses represent?
Early on, when the Lamb begins to open the seven seals, there are four horses or four horsemen that are revealed. The first one is white, and it's described as conquest, looking to conquest, to conquer the world. And then there's a white horse late in the book, which is the white horse that Jesus himself rides on at the end as the victorious king. In the first case, that white horse is called out by one of the angels, one of the powerful angels, as a means of exposing the world system, exposing who Satan is and what he has done in the world, and how Antichrist is going to reveal himself. So that is a very bad thing, because war and pestilence and death follow that particular horse. In the end, when we're talking about Jesus, this is the ultimate victory, because Jesus doesn't go out and enter into battle with the forces of Satan. He simply speaks, and it's done. Again, here's a sort of anti-creation. Jesus speaks, and the forces of the world system and of Satan are just destroyed. He doesn't raise a sword. He doesn't send his minions, you know, like Satan would. He doesn't send angels or us. He just speaks, and it's done. That is victory. That is power. The other, it's all fake. It's trying to do something. You know, Satan always wants to kill and steal and destroy, and that's what that first white horse is about.
Yes. Well, and what you say, and this is a point we've made in the past, and I think it's worth repeating. I think most of us, just our human thinking, is there's this ongoing battle between good and evil. They're basically equal forces tugging at us, trying to move us in one direction or another. And that is just not true.
Absolutely,
categorically not true. There's Jesus, there's God, then there's everything else. And nothing can stand against Jesus. If he speaks, that's the end of it. There's no battle. That's just how powerful he is. He spoke the world into existence. Uh-huh. He will speak evil out of existence at his timing.
Then he will speak the world into existence again.
That's exactly right.
Wow.
The new creative order.
Yeah.
That is such good news. Now, as far as Kabbalah is concerned, that's really a derivative of Judaism. It's an esoteric philosophy, mystical.
Yeah.
It's trying to explain the relationship of the infinite to the finite. It's an interesting philosophy for people, but it's not
Jesus.
A syncretism.
Yes.
It's a syncretism. It's a blending of, you know, all the things of Judaism with a lot of New Age stuff. Well, you know, the gospel answers, you know, Judaism produced Jesus. The end of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the seed, is Jesus Christ himself, and through him the world is blessed. So that's where we have to, fall down on. That's where we have to take our stand, on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, we're going to go to Wayne in Metairie, Louisiana. Hi, Wayne. You're on the air.
I just want to piggyback on Richard's fly in the ointment. Brother, there was so much truth in what you just said. In fact, that's why I'm calling. When I came to realize in my own life that God made me complete, there was nothing left for him to do as far as him working in my life to make me holy and righteous, you talk about a change. So, brother, I am living testimony to what you just said, because until I come to understand that, there's nothing left for God to do. It's done.
It is.
He speaks salvation into one's life. It's done.
Yeah. When he cried out on the cross, it is finished. He meant it. When he came in and gave you life, it's done. You're a brand new creature in Christ, and that is the good news of the gospel. Wayne, thank you for your call today. We're out of time on this edition of Basic Gospel. We're certainly pleased that you've joined us. We look forward to being with you again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. So for now, for Richard, for Greg, for Coleman, for Stephen, for Michelle, for Billy, for Vivian, for all of the Basic Gospel team, so long from Dallas, Texas. We'll see you again tomorrow for another live edition.